All right, guys, 59 points against the Colts. I guess they taught Andrew Luck a lesson.
What's that, to throw it to your own team and not the other team?
Well, I mean...
He's so negative. Would you call it a 50-burger?
Well, I think as one of the Colts said, you can't play... You can't have flaws in your game and play the Patriots.
And you have to keep up.
Right.
You know, they went 80 yards, they score a touchdown. They went 80 yards, they score a touchdown. They're probably thinking, okay, we're in it. But against the Patriots, that's not enough. You can't say, nice, we scored in our first two. You got to think, I need to score on my next six, because that's what the Patriots did and just kept piling it on, getting some defensive scores, special team scores. But the offense kept moving.
A team like Indianapolis, who I think has a lot of, you know, nice things going for it right now, you know, with the rookie quarterback, but they got overwhelmed. Yeah. And I wonder how many teams look at it that way and say, you know, yeah, we could do these things against the Patriots, but can we do enough of them? And can we do them often enough? And that certainly was the difference.
Right. And that kind of leads into the next question. Aqib Talib makes his debut. It looks like the defense played a little better, but was the defense playing a little better result of them actually making adjustments and Talib, or just the offense putting Luck, you know, in a position where he was overwhelmed?
Yeah, we'll probably find the definitive answer to that as we move forward and see some more action. But I did think Talib made a difference, and not just because of his... the interception return was outstanding. I mean, that's a special play. Taking that one 59 yards back and forth, that's a special athletic play. But I do think, and I agree with most of the people that have talked about it, his coverage was better than what we've seen for the most part with the other guys. Even some of the plays, with the one exception of the touchdown that he allowed, the long one. I think he got caught sort of peeking into the backfield. He talked about that, looking at the quarterback. But for the most part, the plays that he gave up, he was, I thought, a little bit more competitive in his coverage.
And is it fair to say that the more we see McCourty at safety, the better we like that?
Well, I thought this was his best game. I thought he had a signature play with the Brazil guy down the field, came across like a real safety, knocks the ball free, creates an incompletion. You know, most times this year, that's a completion. That's a big play, one of those 20-yard plays they give up all the time. So, yeah, I thought he had his best game there. We need to continue to see that growth, though, and it'll be interesting, as we've talked a lot about, finding the right mix, finding the 4, 5, 6 guys, you know, and if that's McCourty at safety, to leave a corner, finding that mix and seeing how they can grow over the end of the season.
And before we get into some of the injuries that happened, you got to, you know, give it up for Julian Edelman. What a game he had.
Yeah, all around. You know, it was like a throwback game. You know, they were calling him Jim Thorpe and stuff. And
the brakes on that.
I didn't hear that.
Really? All over.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got to listen to some of these things on the radio. You guys miss a lot by not listening to as much talk radio as I do.
One of the greatest athletes that ever lived.
Relax. Pump you guys. What a bunch of humorless people I work with. Anyway, everybody, Julian, if you're listening, I thought it was a great all-around effort for you. I think you should have been a little bit happier about it after the game. That's all.
He has shown this ability to make plays, and he made them pay for a repunt. They had a false start on Sergio Brown,
our old pal.
And on the re-kick, it was not a good kick, and he goes down the sideline. That's a big momentum play, because that's right when it was 14-7. You had a chance where the Colts, even though they're punting, you know, maybe we can get a defensive stop, back them up a little bit, and boom, it's tied, and it kind of got out of hand.
Gronkowski.
Yeah, so now we get in order. Chandler Jones went out earlier in the game. We think he's okay, but we're not sure.
No idea.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't look serious. And, you know, he certainly, even when he stood up after they were looking at him, it's almost like he tapped the ground and kind of walked it off and said,
right. Okay.
But then, you know, he gets retaped and he doesn't come back in, so it's hard to judge moving forward. But that's a big injury. It'll kind of get lost in some of the other injuries, but he has been basically an every-down player for you and a key player at that right defensive end spot. You know, even when he goes down, they have to move Ninkovich over there. They bring Cunningham in. Scott plays a little bit more. There's sort of a domino effect of trying to fill his void. That's something to keep an eye on, because even with him, the pass rush hasn't been great of late. He sort of maybe hit a rookie wall or something there. To go without him for too long, I think, would be a big blow.
Yeah, keep an eye on that one. And then, of course, the big injury, Rob Gronkowski at the end of the game. We think the extra point, the last extra point of the game, breaks his forearm, had surgery Monday morning. I think Tom Curran actually reported that first.
So we won't make fun of Tom for at least one second.
Right. Yeah,
I will.
Yeah. So 4 to 8 weeks, we have no idea which end of that it could mean for him.
Yeah, and it's a big injury. Now, fortunately, it's at a position where, unlike last year when he got hurt and they didn't really have a lot of answers, they have 5 tight ends on the active roster. That's more than any team that I can remember in the NFL having. So they have some possibilities here. Aaron Hernandez, if he could get back out in the field, obviously this is the perfect time. But you also have a couple other guys in Shanko and Omanawanui and you know, Daniel Fells wasn't active this past game, I'd expect him to be active moving forward. You have some options in terms of if you still want to use multiple tight ends, but here's a guy that I think might need to do something more, and that's Brandon Lloyd. We haven't really seen him be a big part of the passing game, and maybe this is an opportunity if Hernandez, I'm saying, is not quite 100%. You might need someone else to step up.
Yeah,
Edelman did some things this week. I'd like to see Brandon Lloyd do that.
It's not so much that Brandon Lloyd hasn't caught passes. He has. It's the type of passes we expected him to catch were the kinds that weren't being caught last year, and they're still not.
Yeah, there's no big plays.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems like every time he catches it, he's either falling out of bounds or falling to his knees in the middle of the field. There's no, you know, run after the catch or really explosive plays. It's okay. He caught a 15-yard in cut, but he didn't really do anything with it afterwards. So at this point in the year, I don't know if you can expect a lot more from him.
I think you might be right.
I actually think Edelman's the guy that maybe you see, okay, maybe he gets even a few more reps now, and maybe he can expand that role a little bit. But I actually think it's fortunate that 4 to 8 weeks comes now, because a little bit later than this, now you're really saying this is going to go into the postseason. Right. Who knows how far you go. You look like you're probably going to get him back somewhere around end of regular season, early postseason. And I think if there's any, you know, silver lining, that's kind of it.
We're starting to get to that part of the season where it's becoming a battle of attrition. The guys are starting to get worn down a little bit. Injuries are piling up. And one player in particular I'm watching in that regard is Stephen Ridley. I think he's been terrific for the most part as the lead back. Here's my concern. I'm looking at the number of carries. Last year, he only had 87 carries as a rookie, already double that, and we've started to see the production go down a little bit. Part of that is because of some instability on the offensive line. You've had some different guards in there from week to week. But I really want to see Ridley get back to that explosiveness that we saw earlier in the season, and the Jets might be a perfect opponent to do that. And there was another injury on Sunday that I don't think got anywhere near as much attention as obviously Gronkowski's did, and that was Chandler Jones. That's a big-time problem if it's anything long-term with the rookie defensive end. I don't think the Patriots have a tremendous amount of depth there. You're going to have to mix and match a little bit, and I think you saw Rob Ninkovich have to go over to the right side. You have Jermaine Cunningham moving from the inside in sub situations. He moves over to the left side. Trevor Scott comes in. He got his most extensive playing time of the season. So if this is a situation that persists with Jones's injury, that's something to keep an eye on. My final point this week is going to be about the returns, and this is something that we've been waiting for, really, for the last couple of seasons. There hasn't been a lot of dynamic plays, either in kick returns and punt returns. Now, all of a sudden, over the last month, month and a half, Devin McCourty returns a kick for a touchdown against the Jets, and Julian Edelman obviously has a huge game in the punt return department. I think he, in particular, can be an X factor down the stretch. I think he's a very difficult guy to tackle in the open field. I think he's excellent with the ball in his hands. You start getting some punt return yardage, you get some big plays, some explosive plays. This offense already is unstoppable. So if you start to bolster that with some return game production, watch out.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Do you ever find yourself laughing in anything Rex Ryan says?
Oh, gosh.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
All right, Images of the Week. Lots of action in this one. Here's Tom Brady just getting the ball away before Dwight Freeney gets to him. Aqib Talib made his Patriots debut, and he just didn't cover. He also tackled a little bit. Finally, it's always good to see Adam Vinatieri. I know the fans were booing, but we love you, Adam.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
If Michael O'o Manawanui has that. Is that close enough?
It's close.
Close?
O'o Manawanui.
O'o Manawanui. Yeah. Only one O.
Yeah, two.
Oh, two.
O'o Manawanui.
All right. So what's the worst that's been butchered? I'm sure that was pretty close.
Man, I get this all the time. My answer to that is there's enough letters in it. There's 12 letters in it. When people add letters, it's unnecessary. But there's been some bad ones.
Now, obviously, the situation with Rob is going to miss some time, and that provides opportunities for some other guys. How do you approach I guess, the next several weeks without him? How do you guys change your approach, if at all?
Not really at all. I mean, you know, anybody can go down at any certain point. All it takes is one play, you know, as, you know, it happened this last weekend. So, you know, we as professional athletes and professional football players, it's what we train for and study for each and every day. So, really, our approach hasn't changed. You know, it's just maybe a heightened sense of alertness, you know, getting ready for the game, knowing that you're going to play a little bit more. But, you know, that's what we live for, and that's what we kind of work for every day.
What is it like being part of this kind of an offense that is so versatile and diverse, and from one week to the next, a lot of things can change, and guys can be accentuated for one week and really not be a big part of the game plan? What is that like?
Yeah, it keeps you on your toes. It is fun, though, you know, to be part of something, you know, that has so many options and, you know, puts defenses on their heels, you know, each and every week. So it's fun to be a part of, and, you know, as long as we're winning, can't complain.
Now, you're coming off obviously a huge win against Indianapolis. 2-6-3 teams come in here, and you guys put 59 on the board. That had to be very satisfying.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we talked about just before we started, it's a really short week, a quick turnaround. How do you sort of put that one right behind you and start getting ready for Thursday?
We put it behind us yesterday. Really had to do it Sunday night, you know, after the victory. It was definitely a huge win for us, but we have to move on to the Jets, you know, right away. And we got started yesterday, and we'll have another long day here today, but we'll be ready by Thursday night.
You ever find yourself laughing at anything Rex Ryan says?
Oh, gosh. Yes and no. I try not to pay attention to it. You know, being a part of the game now, you definitely don't pay attention to it. You just, you know, focus on yourself and get ready for the game at hand.
It's Jets week again, and the Patriots defense needs to make one minor change to fix the problems from the first time around against New York that led to a dogfight. Tighten up the defense in the middle of the field. Mark Sanchez, half his completions in that game were to tight end Dustin Keller and slot man Jeremy Curley. Curley had 7 for over 120. Keller had another 7 for 90-plus yards and a touchdown. That means the safeties, whoever it is, Gregory, Chung, McCourty, the corners, the linebackers, they all need to be on the same page in the middle of the field to shut down the lone strength of the Jets' passing game the last time around. With a short week to prepare for the Jets, the nice thing is, I say get back to the basics on both sides of the football. On defense, that's tighten up the running game. Sean Green not having a good year. Under 4 yards a carry, the Patriots held him to that the first time around. But the Patriots have struggled the last couple weeks on the ground. The once stout defense falling down the rankings, but still a top 10 unit. Prove that against Green and the Jets, and let's get Stephen Ridley going again. Been a bit of a struggle the last couple weeks for him. Hasn't come quite as easy as it did the first few weeks of the year. Patriots have a very good run defense. Prove it even when the injury is at guard. And by the way, Jets, 30th in the NFL in rush defense. Take it to them. And finally, one of the big questions this week is how will the Patriots replace Rob Gronkowski? Most people say Aaron Hernandez. He'll probably be back. But I'm looking at another guy, veteran Desanti Shenko. He came back from IR. The team designated him for return. They could have just let him go, but they clearly had a mold in mind for him the second half of the season, and now I think you need to expand that. This is a guy that's caught 50 passes and 11 touchdowns just a few years ago. 6'4", 250. He can block. He can be a factor. He's the closest thing on the roster the Patriots have to Rob Gronkowski. His role needs to grow against the Jets.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Who's the most consistent player on offense for this team?
Tom Brady.
Absolutely. And as long as he's upright, I don't worry about the offense.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
If you watch this segment before, you know I've always been a little dubious of Mike Shanahan, even going back to his Denver Broncos game. Well, last week really cemented the case for me. Apparently, he was in Pittsburgh coaching his team, and during the game, he had $3,700 stolen and his passport out of the visitors' locker room. Now, I'm not doubting that he had that stolen. What I'm questioning is, why is he walking around with $3,700 in a passport going to a football game? I've been to these road games. You don't need any money. You certainly don't need your passport unless you're going to Pittsburgh via Mexico. And for that money, what do you need that for? Are you tipping the refs? I don't know. It's just a real funny story. I want some answers.
Hats off to the NFL for overturning what I thought was a pretty silly suspension in the first place. Ed Reed is not a headhunter. Yes, helmet-to-helmet contact by rule is a penalty, and I thought the call against Pittsburgh last Sunday night was a good call. He hit Emmanuel Sanders helmet-to-helmet, 15 yards, give him a fine, no problem. But that's not the same as going after a guy's head and leaping in the air and trying to knock guys out. Ed Reed is not that kind of player. There's no way for him to have a reputation of being a guy worthy of getting suspended. Good for the NFL for realizing the error of its ways.
Great news for 49ers fans. Colin Kaepernick, the second-year quarterback, had a great game against the Bears, a very good defense the other night. Blew the Bears out of the water. Got their seventh win of the season. It's also a little bit of bad news, though, because now you have a quarterback controversy. For as good as Alex Smith has been the last couple of years, 13-3 a year ago, 6-2 start this year. And by the way, he only had two incompletions in his last two games, but he's soft. And now they're talking about maybe Kaepernick's the better option. And Harbaugh's already said he goes with the hot hand. That's going to get in Alex Smith's head. Whether he starts or not, Alex Smith's career in San Francisco just took a step back.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
We're going to be without Rob Gronkowski for a while. Are we concerned about the offense?
I don't know how anyone could not be concerned with losing Rob Gronkowski. He's the most irreplaceable player on the offense. Yes, the most. He's more irreplaceable than Tom Brady. There's no one that can do everything he does anywhere near like he does it. And just look at the production. What is he, a quarter of your touchdowns this year? You're going to take a hit on offense and in terms of scoring points. And when your defense is still coming together, that's a major concern.
Yeah, I mean, that's the the basic elementary way of looking at things. You lose a great player, and he
right
absolutely
way.
Is
elementary,
a great
my dear
player.
Watson.
And the knee-jerk reaction would be to panic.
Hey, am I a jerk?
I just think this offense is too good, Andy, and he's a very, very good player. Wes Welker is a very, very good player. The running game has been a little bit better this year than it has been in the past. I think they have some mechanisms to better handle a loss like Gronkowski. They don't have anybody who's going to be able to be the red zone threat that he is, the dominant blocker that he is, but they have a lot of different players that can step up and do different things.
You haven't developed some of these other guys. As much as they want to say Brandon Lloyd is, you know, a big aspect of this offense, he's not. You're not going to get carried in a game or in a couple week stretch by Brandon Lloyd. And the running game you talk to, you don't think that running game has been better this year because Rob Gronkowski is one of the best blocking tight ends in football? Well, now you can take that out of the equation.
I think that's part of it.
Or you have to decide, okay, this guy's my blocking tight end. Maybe it's Daniel Fells. Well, now you become more predictable if you put your blocking tight end in. You cannot cover up for the loss of Rob Gronkowski statistically or what he lets you do schematically thanks to his versatility. And because of that, I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, offensively, this team has done it too many times without this guy, without that guy. Logan Mankins is out.
It's
this
been
guy's
3 years
in.
Since they did it without Rob Gronkowski.
So if they don't score 59 this week, maybe they'll have to settle for 38 instead. That's
no,
just
I'm
the way you're going to have
to do Jets. It. Say the with Gronkowski, you won what? 29-26? If you take a step back offensively, you could lose a game like that, right?
Could you?
Yeah.
Yes.
How many touchdowns do you have against the Jets?
How many points does this offense average?
With Rob Gronkowski, 35-plus.
Well, I think that they're going to be right around that number for over the last six games, the next six games.
So the double-digit touchdowns you're removing are irrelevant. Those were just kind of falling in line.
Why are you assuming they can't score touchdowns without Rob Gronkowski?
Because Rob Gronkowski is the best touchdown scorer in the National Football League over the last 3 years.
But why is he the only one that can score a touchdown?
Some in this town would say.
He absolutely has 10 touchdowns. That's a fact. Why is he the only one that can score touchdowns?
He isn't, but he's the only one that does it with the consistency that he can do it.
Instead of throwing every time down there, maybe you run it in down there. That's
allowed. Maybe we'll do that, and maybe we'll get stuffed on the goal line like we've done recently.
Oh, so that's been a big
problem? Who's the most consistent touchdown scorer on this team?
Rob Gronkowski.
Thank you. You removed him from the lineup. I don't know how you can say that's not a concern.
Who's the most consistent player on offense for this team?
Tom Brady.
Absolutely. And as long as he's upright, I don't worry about the offense.
Oh, wait, he's consistent with Gronkowski on his offense like he has been for the last 3 years.
Wake me when Brady is unhealthy.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. We Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama.
All right, question time here at PFW, and these are the ones that you sent to AskPFW at Patriots.com. But first, the Wilson Hart Power Index. What happened this week?
Not as much you guys can mock. It was pretty consistent
up top. We never mock it.
Each of the top eight teams stayed in the top eight. Obviously, the Bears dropped down after getting killed by the Niners, but number one remains the same, Houston Texans. Two is now the Niners. Three, the Packers. Four, the Ravens. Falcons round out the top five. Patriots stay at number eight, weren't able to advance, and I continue to be amazed by the bottom of the rankings, where the Chiefs, clearly the worst team in football, but now Philadelphia Eagles, Andy Reid's team, now 31st in the Wilson Hart Power Index.
He's on the hot seat over there.
Oh, he's done.
Because of the index, I hear.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. The owner, Jeffrey Lurie, was reading this, and he's like, whoa, whoa, 31st, he's out.
All right. All right, let's check out these questions. This first one comes in from Ted, and he wants to know, if Devin McCourty is moving to free safety, I wonder if Dennard is better at nickel, and if so, what about Marquise Cole at corner opposite Tlaib?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what ends up happening McCourty full-time. Now, we still don't know the answer because Patrick Chung didn't play, so it looks like McCourty might be staying at safety, and if that's the case, I want to see what they ended up finishing last game with, and that's Tlaib on one side, Dennard on the other. I can use Arrington as a slot guy. I have no problem with that. Maybe lessening his role a little bit. He was out there to start and then quickly got a couple of penalties and came out. Marquise Cole, not sure he's a full-time player. I like what I saw of him on a limited basis in training camp, and maybe he's pressing Arrington for some of those slot reps, but I'm not quite sure he's ready for a bigger role just yet.
One thing Belichick did say, he'd like to see some consistency back there, so
yes,
eventually
absolutely.
He's got to settle on four or five guys.
He had to find it. But
yeah. Alex writes in, getting a bye in the playoffs is not a likely scenario with or without Rob Gronkowski, so he's looking at a third seed or maybe even a fourth seed. He says, what do you think is a more likely scenario, the third seed or the fourth seed?
I have no idea at this point. I mean, there's a lot of I don't eliminate having a bye. I think there's still a chance yet. From what I've seen in this league, none of these teams are consistent enough to just say they're going to run the table. That includes the Patriots. But the Patriots are in a four-game winning streak. Yeah, they have some tough games going. I don't know that they're going to lose two, win. I mean, it could be anything at this point. I know the NFL, I found it funny this year, the NFL has actually started putting out the little email you get every morning. If the playoffs started today and they're getting people all worked up with seeding, but before Thanksgiving is way too early to start talking seeding, especially when you're talking third, fourth, fifth, sixth seeds.
All right, that's the questions for this week. You can send yours next week to AskPFW at Patriots.com.